Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. David Sedaris is the author of more than a dozen books, including a children's book called Pretty Ugly. And his second children's book is coming out early next year. His most recent book, not for kids, is called Happy Go Lucky. And in it, he describes the death of his father, living through the pandemic in New York City, going shopping with his sister Amy, and learning how to shoot a gun with another sister. He is well known for his satire, his humor, and his ability to write a story that will make you laugh and make you think. And he will be bringing new stories and commentary to Columbus on October 14th. And he joins us today. David Sedaris, welcome to All Sides.
Hello, Amy. Thank you for having me.
In just a moment, I'm going to tell our listeners about a special ticket offer that will possibly get you some seats to see David live at the Palace Theater, as well as support public radio. But first, David, I wanted to start with your newest project, being a children's book author. Was that something you've always, is that something you've always wanted to do, write books for kids?
No, it was something I actively didn't want to do. But the first children's book that came out, gosh, it was done over 20 years ago. The woman who's the art director for The New Yorker, Francoise Mouly, she did a project. She was putting illustrators together with writers to do a book of comics for kids. Mm-hmm. And so she paired me up with Ian Falconer. And Ian hadn't yet done the Olivia books, but I met him because he'd done the sets for a play of mine in New York. And so she teamed me up with Ian. And so we did this little thing called Pretty Ugly. And then they decided, I don't know, 22 years later or something, to bring it out as a book.
So it's been 20 years in the making. Wow. Okay.
It was in an anthology, kind of buried in an anthology. And then Ian and I signed the contract and they turned it into a book. And then he died a few months before it came out.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah.
And so that just happened because Francoise asked us to do it. And then the other one, my publisher asked if I wanted to write a children's book, and I said no. And then I just sat down and wrote one. I mean, I don't mean to belittle or to make it to in any way demean hardworking children's book authors, but like it took 15 minutes to tell you the truth. But that doesn't mean, you know, that it's going to be a success or that kids will want to read it. I don't know anything about children, you know. I mean, I was one myself, but I don't, you know, I don't have anything against them, but I don't know what turns them on. I don't know what turns them off. I don't, you know, it's just something I wrote.
Well, the second children's book you have coming out early next year is called Selfish Sister. And now you have several sisters, so I have to ask where that idea came from.
Oh, it just came out of nowhere. You know, I read a little piece of fiction. I started this tour on The Night Before Last, and I read a little piece of fiction that I wrote over the summer. And I have to say, I don't know that it came from anything. You know, when I'm writing fiction, I just write a sentence and then see what comes after. Like, I never have a preconceived notion. I just kind of let the words kind of take me away. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But I figured everyone who has a sister or more than one sister has a selfish sister. But I think the world of children is, I think it's changed so much now that people have fewer children. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have so many people who, like, there were six kids in my family, and that really toughens you up. Mm. You know, like, by the time you start school, you've been bullied for years, you know, by the time you start school, if you have a lot of brothers and sisters. And I don't know, it just sort of makes it, I think, easier to handle what life throws at you.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. With me today is humorist and author David Sedaris. David will be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater, and you can support WOSU right now and be entered for a chance to win two tickets to the show. Make a gift in any amount this hour, and this hour only, and be entered to win. So go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away. So when you make that gift, you'll have a great chance to win. You can make a gift in any amount to be entered. You can give $10 a month as a sustainer. You can make a one-time gift in any amount. But support Rutt Public Radio to be entered into the sweepstakes. No gift is necessary. But when you make a gift, you're supporting the news and information you hear and depend on from NPR and WOSU. Don't wait to enter. Make a gift right now for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see David Sedaris live at the Palace Theater on October 14th. So again, that is WOSU.org or call right now, 866-897-9678. So I guess being a children's book author is not necessarily your new identity. It's just something new that you're trying. Are you simultaneously working on another book for adults, too?
Yeah, I pretty much turned it in at the beginning of, around the 1st of July. And so now I'm frantically writing new things to add to it. You know, that will either make the cut or not.
And how long does it take to turn around a book for you? So if you submitted it, when will we get to read it? It will be a whole year from now or more than that?
No, it's funny because you could just make a book by pushing a button. It doesn't take you any time anymore. Mm-hmm. But publishers want a book like a year and a half in advance. Generally, my books come out in June and I turn them in at the end of February. Mm-hmm. So... because, you know, it doesn't, do you really need all that time? So I'm going to have until the end of February to finish these new essays and then copyright the old ones. Mm-hmm. But I'm in good shape. I mean, I have more than enough for a book. I can, you know, I'm deciding right now, do I really want this essay? You know, can I punch it up? Was it a mistake to... you know, I wrote something new for the book and I read it out loud. I just finished this tour of Ireland and I realized, oh, that works for the magazine it was published in, but it doesn't work for the book and it doesn't work on stage. Good to know. And that way, I'm glad that I go on tour. I get to learn so much. You know, the audience is really my editor. I mean, one of my editors.
Yeah, you feed off of the audience reaction. I read in one of your books, Happy Go Lucky, that during the pandemic you really struggled because you were missing that audience interaction to be able to read to them, so you knew how you were doing. Was that a really hard time for you, not having an audience to read to?
It was really difficult. I had an essay last summer. I was invited to meet the Pope, right? And so I went and he wanted to meet with different comedians and humor writers from around the world, right? So it was like Conan O'Brien was there and Chris Rock and Whoopi Goldberg. And
oh, yeah, I saw that media coverage. I didn't realize you were in that crowd. All right. Congratulations.
And then it was one of the few times the New Yorker bought the essay. And it was one of the few times they said, can you rewrite the ending? We don't really like the ending. So I rewrote the ending, but I never had a chance to try it in front of an audience, right? Mm-hmm. So the published ending in The New Yorker works on paper, but out loud, people don't know it's the end, you know? You kind of have to tamp your papers together and clear your throat and all but say the end. Mm-hmm. And I wished that I had an opportunity to learn that, you know, in front of an audience before it was published in the magazine. Again, I think it works on paper, but out loud, phew, so I've gone back to my old ending.
Mm. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we have a very special offer right now for this hour only. We have 10 pairs of tickets when David is coming to Columbus on October 14th. He'll be at the Palace Theater. Make a gift right now, and you'll be entered for a chance to win two of those tickets. Make a gift at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I'm not very good at lottery or statistics, but I think that having 10 pairs of tickets is a better chance of winning than us just having one pair. So make that gift now. Support public radio, and you'll have a chance to win one of these 10 pairs of tickets. You'll get to see David live when he's in Columbus on October 14th at the beautiful Palace Theater. No gift is necessary, but when you make that gift, you're supporting 89.7 NPR News. You're supporting the news and information you listen to every day. You're supporting talk programs like All Sides, this one you're listening to right now. So don't wait to enter. Make a gift at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I was looking at your tour schedule. You have a lot of cities that you're in, you know, one after the other after the other. Do you, when you're on a tour like that where you're city hopping so much, do you ever forget what city you're in or get a little lost in the confusion of travel?
I don't forget where I'm at the moment, but I forget where I was at yesterday.
Mm.
And, I don't know. It seems like I'm not sure I remember spring. It was before the pandemic, and it was just every day there was some kind of a, you know, storm, and all the planes were, you know, canceled. And so my agent, I had a show coming up, and he said, all the flights are canceled, so we're sending a private, you know, we arranged a private plane.
Oh, wow.
So I get on the private plane, and I go, and I think, why don't I do this every day? Turned out I had to pay for the private plane.
Oh, dear.
And the private plane costs so much money. But they give you the whole snack basket, like the whole thing. And they don't tell you, you don't have to turn anything off if you don't want to. You don't have to button your seatbelt, you know, fasten your seatbelt, nothing. And I would actually feel guilty, you know, going on a private plane. But I can every day, you know,
but maybe just
understand somebody else doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just occasionally, maybe once a tour, you should treat yourself to a private plane.
and the plane leaves when you want it to.
Yeah, that's nice. You know?
They're on your schedule. And then the little airport you go to, it's like a clubhouse. It's just not anywhere near the real airport. And then there's no security. No one goes through your bags. It's, but sometimes there's not a bathroom on the plane.
Oh, that could pose a problem.
Yeah. And then you think, I'd rather be on a bus, you know, if you're in your second hour on a flight like that.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking with David Sedaris. He's going to stay with us, and again, you can make a gift this hour and be entered for a chance to win two tickets to see David when he is in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. Make a gift in any amount, $10 a month as a sustainer, $20 a month, a one-time gift of $100 or $200. You'll be supporting public radio, and you'll have a chance to win two tickets to see David at his event at the Palace Theater. No gift is necessary, but your gift supports WOSU. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We are talking with David Sedaris. He's staying with us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about David's most recent book for adults, Happy Go Lucky. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Our guest this hour needs no introduction, but I will give him one anyway. David Sedaris is the author of 13 previous books, including Happy-Go-Lucky, The Best of Me, and Calypso. He's a regular contributor to The New Yorker and BBC Radio 4. And in 2019, he was inducted into the American Academy of Arts and Letters. David, thank you again for joining us today.
Oh, thanks again for having me.
Your most recent adult book, rather than the kids' books, it was Happy-Go-Lucky. And in the title essay, you talk about how you followed the news religiously during the first Trump administration, but then you stopped following the news so closely when Joe Biden was president. So I wanted to know where you sit now in your news consumption.
Oh, you know, I think the New York Times has a news quiz every Friday, and I can win it every Friday. You know, I talked to somebody today and he said, oh, I don't read the news anymore. And I thought, I never not read the news, you know, like in recent memory, I never would go a day without, you know, looking at newspaper. You know, you don't want to drown in despair, you know, but then you can, you know, there's all kinds of things in the newspaper. It's usually a little bit of, I don't know, arts coverage or a book review or, you know, something in there that can brighten your day. You know?
Yeah. Working in the news business is interesting for me just because you want people to listen to the news, but then you understand that the news can be heavy. You know, on this show, we try to have lighter topics. You know, having you as a guest is an easier and a happier day for me. But do you find, you know, that the news is heavy and can get you down sometimes if you spend too much time with it?
Yeah, I'm not a social media person, right? And I mean, I've got a lot of friends who are, and I think they're just constantly keyed up and wound up, you know? And so I don't want to be there. Another difference is that I have all my papers to live and work for the rest of my life in England. And I can get my British passport tomorrow if I want it, right? So that makes a difference. But I don't know anything that's going on in England, you know? I mean, I know that Keir Starmer is a prime minister, but that's about it. But Hugh, my boyfriend Hugh, knows all of that. So I just leave that to him, and I cover America.
So one of you takes America, one takes the UK. Got it.
Yeah, but it's interesting to have a foot in both countries that way. Because you're invested in the news in both countries, right?
Do you still live part time in the UK and part time in New York, like half and half?
Yeah, It's because it seems like I'm traveling so much. I don't know. Like I feel like I'm usually gone for like at least 4 or 5 months a year. So it doesn't really leave much time to be in New York or to be in England, but you know, the time that I've got left, it seems divided pretty equally.
I envy you that you have no social media and have never had social media, because you must be a little bit more relaxed than the average person. I think that social media is part of our problem. I don't know if you don't have it, you don't know.
Well, I've never had Facebook. I've never seen what it looks like. Now, I have Instagram page, but somebody does it for me. I've never seen it. And someone has a Facebook page for me. I've never seen that either. But then Instagram, I got it so I could follow my sister, my sister Amy's really good on Instagram. But, you know, then I caught on, if you look at something twice, then that becomes your identity. So, I looked at a fist fight twice, and so now it's like one fist fight after another. Or I watched a Komodo dragon eating a deer while it was still alive.
Oh, no.
That all the time. And it presents a view of a pretty bleak world, you know? It's Komodo dragons or like people throwing kittens to cobras, you know?
Oh, man.
And then fist fight.
I know. I made the mistake of lingering too long one time on one of those Dr. Pimple Popper videos. And, oh, it messed up my algorithm so bad.
It's a shame, though, because then you don't want to. I really feel, it makes me feel like you don't know me. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, they know me.
Yeah. They know you, and it's creepy. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. With me today is humorist and author David Sedaris. David will be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. And you can support WOSU right now and be entered for a chance to win two tickets to the show. Make a gift this hour, and this hour only, so you're running out of time. Make a gift this hour and be entered to win. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away, so when you make that gift, you'll have a great chance to win. And when you give in any amount, you will be automatically entered. So you can make a gift of $10 or $15 a month as a sustainer. You can make a one-time gift of $100 right now. Whatever amount fits into your budget, you can make a gift and be entered into this great sweepstakes, and you'll be supporting public radio at the same time. Now, no gift is necessary, but when you make that gift, you're supporting the news and information you hear from NPR and the BBC and WOSU right here on this station, 89.7 NPR News. Don't wait to make the gift. Give right now for a chance to win that pair of tickets to see David Sedaris. He'll be at the Palace Theater on October 14th. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Your dad is featured in several essays in your book, Happy Go Lucky. Your dad died in 2021 at the age of 98. And there's a great exchange in one of your essays where he keeps insisting that he's 100 years old. And your sister, Amy, keeps reminding him, no, Dad, you're 98, which I love that. But did your dad read your essays about him? Did he mind being a subject of your writing?
I don't think he ever wrote a word that I wrote. I mean, ever read anything that I wrote, which is fine by me, because that's the best, you know, if you're going to write about somebody, if they don't read it. I mean, I would never read anything about myself, you know, like when somebody writes something about me, gosh, I never look at it. So I don't believe he ever, he came to hear me read a number of times, but he would come to hear me read, but then say something like, you told me that this show was sold out. It wasn't sold out. I counted 17 empty seats. And I'd be like, well, Dad, it's a 2,000-seat theater. So sometimes, you know, people forget that they bought tickets, or sometimes they get sick and they don't show up. That's not what happened. Those seats were empty. Like, who does that?
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah.
So that's why your sister felt fine being like, no, Dad, you're 98. You didn't make it to 100.
Well, yeah. I mean, he really wanted to be 100, but I don't know. Not sure what it gets you, really. Well, I guess you get a a birthday card from the president, I suppose.
Maybe. A long time ago, you used to be acknowledged on the Today Show. You could send in your picture if you were 100 years old. Yeah. I don't know if they still do that, but that was many years ago. You could send in a picture and someone from the Today Show would say, you're 100 today. Happy birthday.
What was interesting about my dad, though, was that when Fox News came along, you know, like he went, you know, it was on at his house all the time, day and night, right? And he was really keyed up, you know? Like, whenever I would see him, he'd start yelling at me about things, you know, like it as if it were my fault. And then he moved into an assisted living, and the television was too complicated, and he didn't know how to turn it on, and he became the sweetest guy. It was really interesting.
That is interesting. And so maybe he wasn't yelling at you quite as much if he didn't have a TV yelling at him all day?
No, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really interesting. He kind of let go of the outside world. And, you know, I mean, he could have asked for a newspaper or something like that, but he didn't. And he just really became just a much less angry person.
Yeah, you wrote more than one essay about him in Happy Go Lucky, and I feel like your relationship was a little bit better toward the end there.
Yeah, it was a little bit better toward the end, but he's not a, you know, I don't remember any really good times with my father. I don't remember ever being relaxed in his company. I don't remember ever wanting to talk to him, you know, like on the telephone or if I were at the house or something. It wasn't, you know, I saw there was something in the New York Times in the advice column. A man wrote in a few months ago and he said, you know, I feel like I'm 60 years old and I don't know how I live with some of the things that I did to my children. He said, for instance, one time my son, I sent him to the store to get some ice cream and he lost the change and I yelled at him. And I thought, seriously?
That's not so bad.
you can't live with that. You know, that was nothing, man, you know. But I understand, too, you know, my dad was from a different generation. And, you know, I mean, I do take all that into consideration. I was super lucky to have a wonderful mother, you know, just the greatest, you know. And if you get one out of two, that's great. You know, I mean, two out of two, that's fantastic. But, you know, really, you can get by with one out of two. None out of two, that's just, you know, that's fatal.
Yeah. Well, and six kids, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot of kids to take care of, too. For your mother must have been a saint.
No, it's just that they didn't. You couldn't have six kids the way that people are parents now. You couldn't have six kids and ask them how they feel about everything. Like, our feelings were never important, right?
Right.
So we were never asked, you know, how we were really or how we, but because there were just too many of them. But I know parents now and it's like, well, no, it's going to take me an hour to put my child to bed. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, you slam the door and you say, shut up. It doesn't take any time at all. But it's different, you know, if you just have one child. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously you're going to have a different relationship.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and with me is David Sedaris. David will be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. Support WOSU right now and enter for a chance to win two tickets to the show. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away, so when you make that gift, you'll be entered in to win a pair of those 10 pairs. You have a great chance to win right now, but you have to make a gift and you'll be automatically entered. You can make a gift in any amount to be entered. Just make a gift right now, support public radio at our website, or you can call 866-897-9678. No gift is necessary, but when you make that gift, you're supporting the news and information you hear on this station. You're supporting in-depth talk shows like All Sides. You're supporting what you listen to every day. And you have a great chance to win tickets to see David at the Palace Theater on October 14th. So make that gift in any amount. Show your support for public radio. Give at WOSU.org. or 866-897-9678. Another essay I enjoyed in Happy Go Lucky is about graduation speeches, and you got an honorary degree. And you say that you're always asked for advice for young writers. People always ask you, you know, so what advice do you give to recent college graduates who want to be a writer? What's your favorite thing to tell them?
Well, I was talking to a classroom of students, you know, a couple of months ago, and I realized how old I am. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, just how outdated my advice was. Like, I don't know anything because, as we said earlier, like, so many people now, writers, they get their start on TikTok or on Substack, or I don't know about any of those things. And the thing, like, I always wanted to write for the New Yorker. Like, that's all I wanted was to write for the New Yorker. And I don't even know that young people today are even aware of the New Yorker. I don't even know that it's on their dream, you know, on their list of things that they long for, right? I don't know. I've never, ever, ever been able to market myself in any way. I never asked anybody to read my writing. I never asked anyone if I could give a reading, you know, mm-hmm. at their theater, at their place. I just always waited for people to ask me mm-hmm. because people like to help people. People mm-hmm. love to help people, but you've got to let them do it. And if you muck it up, you know, by asking them for something, then people love it to be their idea, you know, and you have to, that's my advice. Let it be someone else's idea. I often at book signings, you know, I'll talk to somebody and I'm signing their book. And sometimes somebody, I say, what do you do? And they say, oh, I push words around. I don't want to be right. You know, if they're, and then I'm intrigued by them. And so often I'll say, well, I'm going to be doing a show 6 months from now in this area. Why don't you come and open for me? You know, 5-7 minutes. Get up there and we'll see what you've got. And you know, anyway, it's fun to do. It's fun to have that kind of energy backstage. And it's fun to see somebody in front of an audience. But there was a woman who I met, and I didn't really remember her. And she wrote me and said, oh, you told me to get in touch with you. And, you know, you suggested I may be open in this town. And I wrote back and said, oh, I'm sorry, I've already spoken for in that town. And she said, oh, never mind. And I said, what about Philadelphia? Anyway, she opens for me in Philadelphia. I've never seen a crowd fall in love with somebody that quickly. I mean, she's amazing. And she'd read out loud maybe 3 times in front of, you know, 15 people. And now she was in front of 1,700 people. And it was like, I was so, I invited her to open for me several times since then. And it's just nice to see somebody come into their own like that, you know, like to see somebody, you know, it's hard being an opening act for somebody because the audience is waiting for the headliner. So you've got that against you and, you know, you've only got 5 to 7 minutes. But every now and then you meet somebody and they just hit all those requirements. And then you think, okay, I'll do whatever I can do to further your career.
An amazing opportunity for a person. That is so generous of you to just meet someone and say, why don't you give it a try? Can you tell by the way they interact with you at the book signing whether they're legit or not? Or do you make them give you a sample of their writing?
I never want a sample of their writing. It's just a feeling I get. But then word got out that I do it. And then people started contacting my agent saying, well, I'm free to open in San Francisco. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. That's what's beautiful about it is that it's organic. You know, I just happen to meet you and I get a feeling for you. It's not anything that you can audition for. It's not anything that you can arrange. You know, it's funny. If the beauty's taken out of it, then it's not interesting to me. You know? But I met a number of people that way who were just really, really impressive and really have a real gift for reading out loud and a real gift for sometimes you see somebody get up there and they command the room and you're thinking, where'd you learn to do that? You know, it took me years to learn how to do that. And it's like they were born able to do it. And sometimes their writing's not quite there, but you can see that they're on their way. And sometimes it's just, you know, that just really doesn't. But I'm even like, I met a 14-year-old and he said he was a writer. And I said, do you have anything on your phone? And he said, yeah. And so I invited him to open for me. And he just, 10 minutes later, he's on stage.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Reading from his phone.
I've never seen anyone read and then say, you know, like people will speak and say, I. But he was umming off the page. But he's 14 and it takes 5 minutes and the audience is on his side, you know.
Yeah, yeah. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. We're talking with David Sedaris, and David will be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. You can support WOSU right now and be entered for a chance to win two tickets to the show. You are running out of time this hour to make that gift and be entered to win, so make that call now, 866-897-9678, or go to our website. It'll take just a couple of minutes to enter at WOSU.org. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away, so when you make your gift, you'll be supporting public radio, and you have a great chance to win. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer. Make a one-time gift of $50 or $100. Support public radio right now. No gift is necessary, but when you make that gift, remember that you're supporting public radio. You're supporting news and information that you hear and you depend on and you listen to from NPR and the WOSU News team. So don't wait. Make a gift now. Win tickets to see David Sedaris at the Palace Theater on October 14th. Again, that's WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And David Sedaris is going to stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about David's live shows a little more and learn what he learns from the audience and how he likes to gather material during his book signings. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich, and we're spending this hour talking with David Sedaris. And you are running out of time to support public radio and support 89.7 NPR News and have a chance to win tickets to see David when he is in Columbus. He'll be at the Palace Theater on October 14th. You can support WOSU right now and be entered for a chance to win two tickets to the show. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away, so when you make that gift, you have a great chance to win. Make a gift in any amount, but this hour only, you are running out of time to make your gift. There's only a few minutes left in the hour, so now is the time to be entered into this great sweepstakes, and you'll be supporting public radio. No gift is necessary, but when you make your gift, you're supporting the news you listen to every day. Don't wait to enter. Make a gift right now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And David, thank you again for joining me for All Sides today.
Oh, you know, I remember when Columbus was the only place you could get Jenny's ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Now you can get it anywhere. But yeah, do you enjoy Jenny's?
Very much. Well, especially when you could only get it there, because then I would get there and I would run to Jenny's to get ice cream.
It did feel very special whenever you had to come to Columbus, Ohio in order to get it. Yeah. In your most recent book, Happy Go Lucky, we talked about this, where you love audience feedback and you missed it during the pandemic. But so when you're here in Columbus in a few weeks, besides getting Jenny's ice cream, you'll be reading some new essays at your event at the Palace Theater. So after you read them, do you make edits based on how it goes with the audience? Is that what kind of feedback you get?
Yeah. I mean, I was reading something new the other day. And I was going through my manuscript the next morning, and in the audience, in the margins of my paper was C, 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 and that is the worst. That means cough, 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 cough. Mm. People were coughing. And if people are coughing, then they're saying to you, if this were in a book, I would be skimming right now. Like, I'm not listening to you anymore. And it's they might as well put it in those words. So it's great, because then I got rid of that section. And I had to convey some information. So I moved the information. I doled it out in smaller portions throughout the essay. That's really helpful. I read a joke last night and the audience didn't react the way I had hoped, because I think it's the funniest joke in the world. And I normally don't ask put people on the spot by asking them, but I asked them in the book signing, And then a couple of people said, well, I didn't laugh because I thought that the person in question, you know, was a child. And I thought, oh, right, I never said how old the person was. That made perfect sense. So that's easy enough to fix. So sometimes I'm just, and I bet the new version will get tons of laughs tonight, you know. It's not a joke I wrote. It was just a joke that I told. I can feel people getting uncomfortable, right? There was an essay that I wrote. I went to Fiji in last February, and I wrote an essay about it. And I was really surprised that it didn't work. And then I learned it was because I went to a resort in Fiji, and all I did was complain about it. And the audience is like, really? You know, I would love to go to a resort on Fiji, you know? To hell with you. You know, you get this opportunity, and all you do is complain about it. Hadn't occurred to me that would be the reaction, but I thought, well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you're going to write about something, I mean, me anyway, then I think, well, how do I write it so that the audience can react to it? I mean, can relate to it, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, if you're writing about, you know, you could write about an experience the audience didn't have from the viewpoint of let's say, feeling outclassed or feeling out of place. And everyone can relate to that, you know? So I don't want people in the audience to think, well, I've never done that thing, therefore I have no idea what he's talking about, therefore I don't care to listen. Mm-hmm. So it can sometimes take a while to figure out, like, how can we all relate to this thing? So, and a live audience is really helpful with that as well.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. You're running out of time to make a gift and support WOSU. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away, and you have a chance to win when you make a gift. Give in any amount and be automatically entered. Make a gift of $10 or $15 a month. Make a one-time gift of $50, $100, or $200. Support public radio and be entered right now to win two tickets to see David Sedaris in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. You wrote in an essay that you ignore internet comments, which obviously if you don't even use social media, so that doesn't surprise me that you ignore internet comments, but you like to answer letters you get. Is that still true?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll always answer a letter. I mean, unless it's somebody who is super angry or, and I think I can't respond to them. A lot of times if someone was angry about something, then they write, I'm never going to read any of your books ever again. I'm going to tell everyone I know never to read any of your books ever again. There's not any way to reach that person, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but most people, you know, most people are just kind, you know, or maybe they have a question or, you know, one of my sisters killed herself and I've gotten a lot of letters from people who have had a sibling kill themselves. Mm. And that's been great, you know, and I pass those letters along to my sisters and it really does a lot of help. You know, it's funny how common our experiences are.
It helps to hear from someone else who experienced it. Yeah.
Well, because one thing, when somebody in your family kills themselves, everyone expects you to feel guilty, right? And they impose it on you, like, oh, there's something you could have done to keep that person alive. But most of the people who kill themselves have other stuff going on, you know, like they've got, you know, some degree of mental illness, you know, or, you know, they're suffering from, you know, clinical depression or they're went off their medication or something. And so, anyway, what's interesting is I haven't heard from, you know, I have said before that people want to impose guilt on you or make you feel that way. So I hear from so many people who are like, that's how I feel. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing I could have done to keep my brother alive. There's nothing I could have done. And I hate people acting like there was, you know, and then now I have to live with this for the rest of my life. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's a great tragedy when somebody kills themselves like that. And you've got that to deal with, and you don't really need the other stuff heaped onto it, you know?
Right. Yeah. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're running out of time with David Sedaris, and you're running out of time in order to be able to enter our sweepstakes to win two tickets to see his show. David will be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. Make a gift of $10 or $15 a month. Make a one-time gift of $50, $100, or $200. You decide what fits into your budget, support public radio, and be automatically entered into this great sweepstakes. No gift is necessary, but your gift supports public radio, and you can enter right now, just a few minutes left. Don't wait. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. You write sometimes about the walks you take. Do you still walk a lot? I heard that you're very proud of your step goal and meeting your step count. Is that still the case?
Yes. I mean, my record is 43 miles in a single day.
Whoa.
But yeah. And I did it with somebody so I would have a witness. But generally speaking, it depends on where I am. Like when I'm on tour, you know, I try to walk at minimum of 10 miles a day.
That's a lot of miles. All right. Do you do it early in the morning? Or?
Well, because I'm on tour, then I just got to grab it when I can, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll walk in the airport. I'll, you know, sometimes you're in a city and you don't really know, you know, sometimes you're at a hotel out on the highway. Mm. There's no sidewalk and it's just kind of chain restaurants and stuff. I'll do it there if I have to. You know.
Always outdoors or ever a treadmill?
No, I don't like a treadmill. Mm. But I don't know. I always walked. Like, you know, since I was a kid, I'd come home from school and go out and just fantasize. That's what I do when I walk. I just fantasize. And but now, you know, I can listen to audiobooks and I can listen to podcasts. And, you know, sometimes I get tired of my own thoughts. So it's nice to have that out, you know. But I hate to be the person on the sidewalk who's not engaged, you know, fully engaged and not listening to everything that's going on around him, you know.
Are you one of those headphone, like ear pod in one ear and not the other person, so you can hear what's going on and still listen to your audiobook?
Well, the problem now is, like in New York, there are all these e-bikes, right? Mm. Going the wrong way on one-way streets and going on sidewalks. And those are quiet, you know, so you can't even hear them coming. You just have to have all your senses open, you know, so you don't get... When I was a bicycle messenger in San Francisco when I was 21, mm-hmm. and this man wearing a suit stepped off the curb and he wasn't looking where he was going, and I hit him and he went down. And because I did that, it's going to happen to me. So it's just a matter of time. I just hope it's not an e-bike.
Well, around here, when you're in Columbus, we have a lot of scooters. So just when you do your walk in Columbus, beware of the scooters.
I think it was Paris outlawed the scooters. I get so sick of those scooters and they're littering the sidewalk. And it's funny. You see grown-ups dressed like kids and they're riding scooters. And you think, God, grow up, world.
Well, you're going to see the scooters when you walk in Columbus, because I'm sure you're staying somewhere. I'm sure you're staying somewhere downtown near the Palace Theater, and there'll be plenty of them. So fair warning. We are down to just about 2 minutes left. And I just wanted to ask, do you have anything you wanted to preview about the show at the Palace Theater? You'll be doing a book signing, right? Because you always do those.
Yeah, I'll sign books beforehand and, you know, and after. I get there an hour early and start signing books. Which, that's good, because if you've got plans, you know, you want to leave soon afterwards. I've always done that, because it gives me an idea of who's in the audience. Mm. And then sometimes I'm on stage and I think, you know what, I'm going to read this for that person, you know, who I met earlier. So it's good for me, too.
And then you'll
sign
books afterward, too. Okay. Well, we look forward to you being at the Palace Theater. And again, this is your last chance to make a gift this hour and be entered to win. We have tickets. You can win 2 tickets to see David Sedaris. He'll be in Columbus on October 14th at the Palace Theater. Make a gift right now before the hour ends. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $100 or $200. Make a gift in any amount and you'll be automatically entered into this great sweepstakes. And you'll be supporting public radio. We have 10 pairs of tickets to give away. So when you make that gift, you have a great chance to win. And you can win a pair of those tickets. No gift is necessary. But when you make that gift, you're supporting public radio, NPR, and WOSU, and this show, All Sides. Don't wait to enter. Give right now to see David at the Palace Theater. He'll be here October 14th. WOSU.org. Or 866-897-9678. And David Sedaris, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, gosh, thanks a million for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and again, author and humorist David Sedaris will be in Columbus as a part of his current tour. It's the Palace Theater on October 14th. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.